involved in deadly crashes that killed hundreds of people.
These heartbreaking accidents and the memories of the 346 lives lost are now part of that legacy. It is our solemn duty to learn from them, and we will.
Senate Majority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, says it appears House Democrats have been aiming for impeachment of President Trump for 3 years.
The first headline I saw, I think it was in the Washington Post, before the president was sworn in, was that the impeachment process is beginning. So this is just further evidence that this is what they had in mind from the very beginning.
McConnell talking with reporters at the Capitol, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Friends and family, I've been telling you for quite some time how MyPillow has given me the best sleep I've ever had with my MyPillow Deluxe Pillow. Well, now, through the Radio Listener Special, there's a lot of things you can save through the MyPillow Radio Listener Special, but the best deal now is a buy one, get one free offer on the Deluxe MyPillow Premium Pillows. Pick up a MyPillow right now, and yourself and a loved one. Best way to do it. And guess what? We've talked about the 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee, but orders placed between October 15th and December 25th will have their 60-day money-back guarantee extended through March 1st, 2020. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, enter promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 for the buy one, get one free special. Two MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one with that extended warranty. Do it now.
Two ex-governors are speaking out about the latest California wildfires. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
Noting hundreds of thousands of people being evacuated again, former California Governor Jerry Brown says the fires in that state show the world the horror of climate change.
And climate change is related to the fires in California. California is burning while the deniers make a joke out of the standards that protect us all.
Brown at that hearing about the Trump administration's decision to roll back auto emission standards. Former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was focused on the firefighters involved.
We have the greatest firefighters in the world, bar none.
He spoke on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
General Motors is doing all right financially despite the 40-day work stoppage. The company made $3 billion in pre-tax profit in the third quarter. The figure is less than last year's third quarter posting. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Reaction still coming in as U.S. Special Forces took out ISIS leader Abu Bakr el-Baghdadi. Kyle Carpenter has a new book out titled You're Worth It, Building a Life Worth Fighting For. Now, Kyle is the youngest living Medal of Honor recipient. He served as a Marine in Afghanistan, and I asked him his reaction to hearing that el-Baghdadi was killed.
Yeah, I mean, I have chills right now just thinking about it. And having, you know, being someone that while I spent my 3 years recovering at Walter Reed, I actually did an internship with a counterintelligence agency. And so I've always had just loving this country and the people, the great people that serve and make it up. I've always had an immense pride for not only our military, but our intelligence communities. But I mean, to really think about it, it is so incredible what our intelligence agencies and our special forces, you know, service members and community do for this country. You know, really think about the last time we saw this guy was 2014. I mean, years and years and years ago. And every single day and night around the clock since before that and since the last time we saw him, we stayed persistent and motivated and focused on the mission.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, it's Joe Peters sitting here with Jeff Gouls. Jeff, say hello.
Hello, how are you today?
Yeah, we're doing good. So we're going to be back in about 3 minutes after I play a few of our introductory commercials that people are paying to keep this radio station going. And we'll be interviewing Jeff, who's the mayor of Raritan Township, and we'll be talking about a lot of the things that are going on. So give us a few minutes, and we'll be right back. So today is Tuesday, the 29th, and we're going to start with...
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunter in every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So once again, it's Joe Peters. It's the 29th of October, two more days and it's Halloween, and it is a rainy day outside. They asked me to give you the weather forecast before we get started. It's currently 61 degrees. It's going to be rainy for the next 3 days off and on. It's going to get warmer. It's going to be 61 today, 66 tomorrow, 72 on Thursday. So probably a pretty good day for the kids to get out Thursday evening. But rainy, so then it's going to drop down to 55. So it looks like after the front goes through, it gets a shot cooler. We're going to play a few more and be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So once again, it's Joe Peters with Jeff Kuhl, and it's K-U-H-L.
Yes, sir.
And it's pronounced like the word cool.
Correct.
Okay.
German.
German.
Yes.
Jawohl.
Yeah.
Jeff, let's go backwards and come forward. You've been a resident of the county and of Raritan Township all your life, it sounds like, and actually went to local college and got your associate's degree and run a family business. So walk me through all of that.
Well, to start out with, my family's been here for many generations. I'm actually where our business, family business is on that farm. I'm the sixth generation there. And we have seventh generation there now, and eighth generation is going to be coming, I'm sure.
That's amazing.
So it's been a really neat thing to be involved with. I was born in the Hunterdon Medical Center, and I lived here all my life. I grew up where our family business is, and it was a farmhouse, and there was actually three generations lived in that farmhouse when I was very young, until I was four years old. And then my parents built a house, and my grandparents built a house, and so on. So at a certain point, they were farmers, and my grandfather decided to get involved in selling other equipment and doing some other things to help supplement being a farmer. And so he started buying and selling poultry equipment, making some poultry equipment back in the day, and that's when there were many, many poultry farms in New Jersey. And a lot of those people were immigrants, Jewish immigrants that came over, and my grandfather helped them out, helped them get started, gave them, if they were good people, gave them credit, and a lot of people were grateful for that. And then my father and my uncle got involved in the business. My uncle basically kept on with what my grandfather was doing, and my father saw other needs, and so he was the originator of the commercial egg washer way back, I guess probably in the late 50s.
Okay.
So, and at that time they called it a motorized garbage can. It's basically you put the eggs in this bucket and a garbage can looking thing, and it had a propeller in it, but it started working. And then eventually things evolved from there, and we started making other types of equipment to start out with, and that grew. And then my brother and I got involved in that part of the business, and we decided with my father that we need to diversify, because if the egg industry isn't poultry industry or egg industry isn't really doing well, we have other industries we can get involved with. So we a lot of the machinery was similar to what we were doing. So let's say we were in egg washing. Somebody from the egg industry went into the hatchery industry.
Right.
They say, hey, cool, makes this machine. And they contact us and say, can you make something like this? And, well, yeah, we can. So we went to that. And then somebody from there went into the bakery industry, and the machines are very similar. So we got involved in the bakery industry, all the large bakeries all around the world. Tasty Cake, Anneman's, Holman, a lot of those big bakeries. Then we got involved in the chocolate industry. And Tyson Foods and Domino's Pizza and Walgreens and Panera Breads and We made things for NASA. We made a machine to to mix up and make the tiles for the space shuttle.
Okay.
We've got involved in a lot of innovations for the poultry industry where they used to have to vaccinate every baby chick. And I got involved with this company. They had a concept, but they didn't know how to do it, so I actually invented this machine with them that it, at 28 days of incubation, they we poked a hole in the egg and injected the vaccine into the egg before the baby chick was born. So that automated all, started automating that, and then we got into a lot of automation for that. So we have hatcheries where they're hatching 120,000 baby chicks an hour, and with probably like three or four people.
That's amazing.
So it's so we get involved in a lot of things, and so as our company branched out in a lot of these different industries, we diversified. It's worked very well for us. We have a great group of employees that, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be where we are today. We have people that worked for. We actually have one guy that's worked for us, I think, 55 years. He doesn't want to retire. A lot of them have been 20, 30, 40 years, and then we have a lot of good younger guys now. So it's great to see, especially here in Hunterdon County.
Right, and it seems to me from looking at some of the pictures of your equipment, it's massive. I mean, some of this wouldn't fit on a tractor trailer.
Oh yeah,
like.
Well, a lot of the machinery has to be taken apart to be shipped, and it can be multiple trailer loads. We do a lot of export. We export all through Asia, Russia, Europe. We do a lot in South America, Brazil, naturally all through the United States. We export to Taiwan, believe it or not, from New Jersey. We just exported about a month ago a machine to Siberia. I didn't want to go over there.
Cool.
I didn't want to go over there and deal with it. Luckily, it started up and ran good. So, you wouldn't think that, a little company from started out with a bunch of farmers would end up where we are today. So it's like I say, it's neat, and it's always something new and different that that I deal with myself, because I deal with a lot of designing of the machinery. And so I always like challenges. And,
how many patents do you have?
12.
12 patents, personally, or as a
yes.
company? But personally, that impresses me.
I think as a company, there's, I think, in 50 or so. Yeah.
Wow. So at some point in time, and I know this from the egg auction building, if you ever just walk through, it's like a monument to the egg industry, and from people that I've bought, helped buy and sell, and some of them have passed on over the years, this was big. Everybody seemed to have chickens at one point.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
was a poultry capital of New Jersey.
Yeah, and in fact, I remember when I was a little kid, for a class trip from school, we went to the egg auction, and they had our machinery from our company in there processing the eggs and stuff. And I thought that was so neat, as a little young boy.
Wow. So your company is just above Red Beans, Toyota, and where the gym is there, and you're back on a family named Road. Cool Farm Road, Cool Road.
Cool Road, yeah.
And you said you've got somewhere between 65 and 70 employees out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you've got other employees and agents around the world.
Right.
I'm impressed. I'm really impressed, because when I did the Leadership Hunter, and we talked about the hospital and the school systems are leading two employers here, and we never talked about the third employer. And I would think from a manufacturing in Hunterdon County, you've got to be one of the top manufacturers.
Well, I know, Car and Truck Country is a big employer.
Right.
And Johanna Foods is a big employer.
That's Johanna I'm not thinking
yeah.
about. So that's.
But, I guess we're in there somewhere. We're not in a race to see who has the most employees. We're just here to do the right thing.
I went out last week to visit Jim at Zero Surge to see his facility. He's been running the Hack Hunterdon and Mark.
Right.
And he's only got 7 employees, but he does a lot of business with 7 employees out there. He's actually doing OEM, and he's also doing things that go as devices into other things. As you said, some of your manufacturing is part of something bigger one, and actually you don't see it at the end of the day. So the family has been in the business. You're in your seventh generation of
seventh generation of on the same property.
Okay.
I'm third generation in the business, and fourth generation's in the business as well, and doing well.
Wonderful. Kudos. I mean, I'm totally impressed with it. I got to come over and take a tour.
And I think part of it that helps is, I have my father, who still comes to work pretty much every day. He loves it.
How old is he now?
He's 89.
Wow.
And
my hero.
Still doing well. And I had my uncle. He worked there till he passed away. I don't know how many, 5 years ago maybe or so. He worked there till the end. I have a brother. I have a cousin, Rick, who's involved in the town and involved in the poultry equipment part of the business that my uncle was involved with. He has a son that's involved in the business. He has a daughter that's involved in the business. I have a son that's involved in the business. And my brother has a son that's going to college for engineering, and he works there when he's not in school.
What a great story.
Yeah.
Even the fact that three generations were in one house at one time, we just don't see that anymore with people that haven't immigrated to here.
Okay? Right.
People, like I do a lot of it in Somerset County, my business spreads across Somerset and Hunterdon, and we sell multi-generational housing over there in the Asian, and it's just part of the Asian culture, and that's natural to them. But we also see it in other ethnicities, but right. We don't typically see it here in Hunterdon County, although I'm a newbie. I've only been here 21 years. So.
Well, I mean, that's I think, how the farming community, that's the way they right. were back then is... Is you had the elder parents, and then you had the next generation, and then they had children, and that's how they kept the farm going. And then, unfortunately, I would say in the 70s, farming was not as fruitful as it was or had been, and so a lot of the next generations didn't want to be involved in the farms. So a lot of people, including us, bought neighbors' farms and so on that they were ready to retire. Their children right. didn't want anything to do with it.
Yep.
And they came to the neighbor and said, would you like to buy my farm? We want to keep it as a farm. And, hopefully we can have life rights there. So that's what we did with some of the properties we bought is the families still lived there till the day they died and enjoyed it. And so it worked out for everybody.
Good. Good, good. So how many acres do you have over there on here?
As far as our entire family, we have about 760 acres.
My goodness, that's half a state. I always say 20 acres is almost a state park, so 700 acres is a lot.
And most of that's in farming. So.
Okay. So it's farmland preserved or just being farmed?
Some of it's farmland preserved and farmed, and some of it's just owned outright and farmland assessed and farmed.
So I've discovered in Hunterdon County, especially after Leadership Hunterdon, and I also did Leadership Somerset, it's hard not to get involved in the county. It's a great county. There's a lot of great causes.
Yes.
And you have gotten involved. And people say, oh, the mayor, he's not for the money. Now, there's no money in mayorship. You're probably giving your check to charity at the end of the day. So it's a lot of abuse with a little money.
Right.
But you, I understand, were on the planning board and lots of other things before you came mayor. So talk about a little about your public career.
Well, I guess it was in the 90s I saw development in Raritan Township really going crazy, and I didn't understand why it was somewhat out of control, and I wanted to get involved and try and make a difference, and that was my main reason for getting involved in the planning board at that time. So I joined the planning board, and I started from the bottom like everything else, and started as second alternate, first alternate, and then became a member, and then wasn't long after that I was vice chairman for a few years, and then I was chairman for quite a few years. I think I was on I've been on the planning board, I think, 23, 24 years.
Wow.
So I learned a lot about the town. We made quite a few ordinance changes and different things that we were able to control the growth and regulate it to certain areas where we wanted to have, let's say, industrial, where we wanted to have commercial, where we wanted to have residential. We changed zoning where in the Lacatong Formation there was rarity or water was hard to find. And, I mean, there was some people, they were getting, a half a gallon a minute or a gallon a minute when they drill 400 feet down in the ground.
Wow.
And so we actually took some of those areas where they were, and for scientific reasons we did it, where we changed it from, I think it was 2-acre zoning to 6-acre zoning. We took some where there was some areas that we went, I think, from 2 acres to 5 acres. But we did it with, the homeowner, the landowner, in our minds. We didn't want to just go out and take something for nothing and leave them high and dry. I mean, I've always been a proponent of property rights, and I feel that they should be taken into consideration with anything. I would never want to, take somebody's property for not the right reasons,
right,
and leave them high and dry, which is sometimes we run into that.
So through that, you got somehow to be the mayor.
Well,
probably a lot of steps in that somehow.
for quite a few years, people were asking me to run, and I was always behind the scenes. Actually, my father was the Hunter County Republican chairman for 35 years.
Okay.
And so I, from a young age, I was, helping stuff envelopes and do some of that stuff. And so I was always supporting the group and helping out behind the scenes. I was, always, I just like to get things done and help make a difference. It seemed like it was the time. And so I jumped in and hit doors and campaigned like you're going to lose. And
right.
And we had some pretty hard opposition last year. They had a lot of money to spend, and so we made out well. And because of my, long knowledge of the township and everything that goes on in the town, I people knew I had the knowledge and the knowledge, courage, and the heart and the to do it. And I would say the first 2-3 weeks was pretty hectic, I've always been the kind of person, you give me a challenge and I'll take it on and make it happen. So we we jumped right in, and I have a great Don Hutchins, who's our town administrator. He's a great guy to work with. He helps you get stuff done, and actually the rest of the committee is great to work with. So we were able to get a lot of things done weren't getting done this year. For instance, for over 4 years, we're in litigation with the Council of Affordable Housing, COA, or Fair Share Housing, I guess you would say. And we went in there, and we had a first meeting, and I'm a business guy. I'm not a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into that meeting, and I acted like a businessman, and what they were proposing wasn't going to work, and we walked out. And then negotiations started. And so we negotiated from the original numbers that we were supposed to provide, which was like 1,200 low-income housing units they wanted Raritan Township to provide. We were half of that where we ended up, which was pretty awesome for anybody around here.
So while we're on affordable housing, I'm looking at Hunterdon County, and I always looked at things as a business person because I grew up in a business world. I just got too many of these great things. I couldn't keep the corporate job anymore. The four areas of Hunterdon County, which were the four mayors we had at the Realtors Day, comprise better than 50%, almost 60% of all of the houses we sell, Raritan, Reddington, Clinton Township. And we got to talking about what's happening with the affordable housing. Everybody took their turn. We had about 40 realtors in a room. It was quite civil. I thought it might get a little out of hand. Somebody said, don't get that many people in a room ever. But I think it was very educational. It seems to me like many of the towns are doing what they have to do, trying to keep it to a minimum as far as the impact on the town, but aren't looking past 2025, because in most cases that's 6 or 7 years from now, and I've got this year to worry about.
Great.
Do you feel that way about planning, or do you?
Not in Raritan Township, we're not thinking that way.
Okay.
You know, I always look far ahead when I do anything. And in Raritan Township, we know that there's going to be another round coming up. Wishful thinking, I wish it was the way it was back in the 90s when we used to just send money to New Brunswick or or whatever. And they actually put the low-income housing where the low-income housing probably should be, because there's the jobs and there's revitalization of these buildings that could be done. Public transportation. Unfortunately, we don't have that out here. We're already looking at what possibilities we may need to have for that. My hope is I really think with this last round that there's going to be possibly an overabundance of units, and when we get to that point, hopefully they'll take a look and say, hey, we have enough units, we don't need to to provide more. Because one thing that's huge in our town, and also it's part of Flemington as well, and a little bit of Reddington, is we have this the sewer plant, and at this moment there's really no additional sewer capacity for any more affordable housing or much development at all. So that's an issue that we're dealing with as well, trying to get a handle on that. And then on top of that, I don't know if you the DEP came in with some new C1 stream regulations.
That's where Mark was last week.
Right. Well, I was there as well.
Okay.
We went to a meeting at DEP in Trenton last week.
Right.
And I've had we have a group of people, and Janice Kovacs and Betsy Driver and some other communities that we all got together in Hunterdon County, because there's in Raritan Township, our sewer plant, 30% of our sewer plant would be located in this 300-foot buffer to increase the flow rate would be physically impossible almost, because of the clarity of the water that you would have to provide it after that classification has changed. On top of that, in Raritan Township alone, it's going to, because all the tributaries that go to these streams, it's going to affect, we estimate, 1,900 homes or 1,900 properties in Raritan Township. And I think 30% of those are residential and 70% of those are commercial or industrial.
And they're all existing today.
No, I would say, well, all the properties exist, but they're saying that if they are already developed, that you can redevelop them, but you still have to go through rigorous DEP issues. But if it's non-developed, then that 300-foot buffer, you can't go in it. That's my understanding. So it's going to be it's taking of people's property without giving them anything
so
in return.
Let's finish up affordable housing. What mm-hmm. projects are on the boards for now? I know there was something built just down past Costco on the left about 3 years ago.
Okay, so basically under to complete our COA, what's not built that's going to complete our COA. Settlement.
Okay.
They're actually under construction now behind over by Stop and Shop. There's a rental. I think it's around, I think, 100 units. It's a rental. 20% of those are low to medium income, and the rest are market rate.
Market rate.
There's also in where Lowe's is. There was an office building there that naturally office buildings aren't doing well in this part of the country.
Right.
So and basically the same footprint, we changed that to allow for 20% low income and then the rest of that market rate. I think that's around 100 units there. And then behind there, there's a on the left, there's a 100% affordable unit, which is called the Willows.
That's what I was thinking.
And
about.
That's been occupied for a couple of years now, I think. And I think it's 84 units or 87 units. And as far as school children, there's, I think, 30 to 37 school children out of that. And across, so now across the road from there, we there's preliminary approval for another 100 units of 100% affordable housing.
Hmm.
Initially, there was a as part of our COA plan on Dayton Road, there was a property that the township was given as part of a development years ago, and that was part of the COA plan. The property was had wetlands, had issues, and the public in that area, you know, really didn't appreciate it as well. What we did is we took that out of the equation, and we put this in its place where it's close to businesses. You know, you want to put this where it's close to businesses, where they can walk and where they can get jobs, hopefully, and things like that.
So how many affordable housing units does that add up to over what period of time?
Just well, you're going to probably be about 300 housing units.
Okay.
A lot of those are single or one bedroom. Some are two bedroom and very few are three bedroom. You're not getting, right away you look at what's it going to do to schools and population and traffic. There's traffic studies all have to be done and everything like that, just like any other developments. as far as school children, our school system is about, I understand, 600 children less than it was. And we're figuring that you're probably going to have maybe 200 coming out of each, at the most, out of all the low income.
So because our school, and I know as part of what I did with leadership, I understood that the county in general is dropping 24% over the next 5 years.
Right.
Now, when I talk to other towns like Gloria at Hillsborough, says, we're not doing that. We've built so many apartments. The schools are more than full again. So we're not faced with the schools.
No, we're not going to. I think they're going to have to do some redistricting.
Yeah.
Because of where they're built versus, of the school, who's going to go to what school.
So what about the next level up then, which would be entry level market rate housing? This would be for people earning probably $50,000 as a single and more. Some of what you described is going to have units for that, but I don't see developments on the board anywhere in Hunterdon County, like a new toll developers development, which is typically middle income, mm-hmm. other than there's a 55 plus or two around.
I did leave one project out. Where our 55 and older Pulte development is,
right,
on Case Boulevard, that's there is actually 50 affordable housing units there, which are for sale units.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a nice mix going on. But one of the things that Mark and I talk about all the time are, if we bring all these technical people in, where are they going to live? Okay, we can give them a job. Mm-hmm. There's enough jobs here and there. But in order for $1,250 rent or mortgage, and you can't find either in Hunterdon County, you got to earn $50,000. And we don't have that kind. So you probably need to earn a minimum of $75,000 if you're single to live here. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that kind of jobs here. So it's a chicken and egg kind of thing. We're back to the poultry.
Right.
When I first looked at this, one of the fellows that worked for the planning board at the county level said, what we really need is entry level housing. We need to go back to building housing to grow from the bottom up.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't seem like, because of the cost of land and some of the restrictions, that that's possible.
Right. And, I mean, you can see in Raritan Township anyway, the condos, townhomes, the lower range housing prices, I think they, and you're a real estate agent, you would,
yeah,
know better than me, but I think they move fairly well.
Because
that's entry level. We have a great school system. So it's a great place to raise your kids.
Right.
And, basically crime is non-existent. And
I always say that this job around to be a cop out here. I respect what these guys got to do, but
yeah,
I'm looking at the median price for Raritan Township for September was $472,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we sold 14 houses in September that are single. We sold another 12 that were in townhouses, and we really didn't close anything in adults, but I would think that's an anomaly because we've got a couple of nice adult communities going, mm-hmm, on. That's way above where these people would be looking. Because if you figure $5 a thousand mortgaged, so a $200,000, that would be 5 times 2 would be $1,000 for $200,000. You got to pay the taxes. Now it's $1,500.
Right.
Homeowners, if you're in a thing. So you're easily up to $1,750 to $2,000, and that's going to require, as I said, a $75,000 job. So you have to commute out and come back. And we call it traffic. Everybody sort of goes east to work and comes,
right,
back to live. And it's not just here, and this is the end. Everybody from Pennsylvania comes to Hunterdon County,
correct,
to work.
Yeah.
All the car dealerships are people from Pennsylvania. They go back west. We pay $2 an hour more minimum wage. And most of nobody earns minimum wage anymore. Costco's paying $15 an hour to start.
Right.
So it's hard to work here and live here. You have,
correct,
to live here and work somewhere else and bring it back.
A lot of my, I have employees that live here and work here, but they were somewhat established.
Yeah.
A lot of the younger guys are coming from, Easton, Phillipsburg area and traveling every day.
And we're talking about, as far as population, some 21,000, just under 22,000 in Raritan Township.
Correct.
And we're the 116th of 566 in the state community. So we're in the upper quartile. Pens are flying. 591 people per square mile. That sounds like a lot, but it's got to be an accurate number. We're fairly dense, but fairly nice. I mean, the reason we moved here when we lived in the Middlesex County is we just wanted to be where the horses and cows were. And we started coming out. We started looking, and it took a while. And we bought our first house. We traded up. We bought a, mm-hmm, second house. And we got a little older, and we downsized into a townhouse at this point in time, which is now going to be – it's good exercise going up down the stairs, but this isn't forever. We need to get on one floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I turn around, and I look at the 55 pluses, which is the last section – And the 55-pluses that we're selling are advertised that they're starting under $400,000. But if you get a basement and a premium lot and a front door, you're almost $600,000.
Yeah, that's amazing, yeah.
So I have people trying to sell a $500,000 house, a four-bedroom center hall colonial in Raritan Township on 2 or 3 acres. It's probably in the 450 to 550 range if it's 20 years or older. They're kind of hard to sell because we're getting at the level that people don't want to move this far west anymore, and there's newer housing than that, not much more money, and you get a lot of competition from bigger houses that are having a hard time selling, keep cutting their prices. Right. So for another $30,000-$40,000, you could have twice the house and be newer. It seems to me we've got a, not a crisis, but a concern at hand, in that we have housing at the wrong level. Now, you're German, I'm Polish. I call it about the Polish bridge builder. We're looking to buy houses down there, and we're looking to sell houses up here, and we really can't bridge them because there's like $100,000 to $200,000 between.
Right.
So as a result, we drive some people out of the area to live, but they really don't save any money when they do that. They just can rent instead of buy, and they go to places like Bayonne and Jersey City where everything costs more money. Get a shirt clean costs twice what it costs here. Get a car to park. It's denser. They wind up spending more of the discretionary money just to live, and as a result, there's no money being put away for buying your own home eventually.
Right.
So we're sort of separating the classes that way. And at the same time, we're getting this integration of the classes through affordable housing, and the classes that are coming in for that are, and I think Janice Kovac said it best, is that there's nothing wrong with these people. They just don't earn what we typically earn.
Right.
And that's through lack of education or lack of leadership. I don't know what it was, but they're typically a single in affordable housing is earning less than $37,000, if I remember the numbers, and a family under $75,400, where what we're trying to sell is way above that. So as a result, we have lots of inventory. We under 400, we're in great shape. Anything that's clean sells. 400 to 500, we're average. 500 to 600, a little bit of pressure. Over 600, lots of pressure. So we're seeing an environment that's changing as we speak. And now we're putting additional pressure on with maybe there's not people living in the community that you moved out here to live next to. And I'll give you a great example. One of our better realtors in Warren lives in Four Seasons. Four Seasons is a $1.2 million to $1.5 million, 55-plus gated community. But there's affordable housing in there. And she's saying, Joe, I'm at the pool of affordable housing people. They're not so bad. But they're not living in the same kind of house I'm living in. They're living in the furthest to the woods section that's a little less, a lot less than what we're buying. So it's not just here. It's everywhere. But the problem goes in magnitude. So where we sort of run out of steam and getting into the 600,000 and above range, Somerset County over in Warren Watchung runs out of steam at $1.2 million range. So there's a lot more range before they run out of steam.
Right.
But then last week I had an opportunity to sit a house in Berkeley Heights for Sherry, the same woman. And then I'm bumping into people coming from Middlesex County trying to come a little west. They never will live in Somerset and in Warren Watchung. They're going to be in a county for closer to New York. And the county's closer to New York, there's nothing wrong with. They're just smaller houses, less expensive properties. And the commute to New York is running the whole. And it's always been our... or whatever.
Yeah. What? Well, but we're a pretty unique area here. Unfortunately, we don't have as much business here that probably, you know, large businesses that we probably would help our area. But, you know, we're basically an hour from Philadelphia, an hour from New York City, yeah, an hour from the Jersey Shore, and an hour from the Poconos. So it is a pretty unique area.
One of the things you've got that a lot of communities don't have is public water and sewer. But it's only for a limited area.
Correct.
I think in the Case Boulevard, across from Northlands is all public sewer, if I remember, that general area.
Yeah. And there's sewer service area, and there's a water, you know, public water service area as well.
So what percentage of the homes in Raritan Township are public as far as sewer and water? Very small, I would think.
Well, in those areas, it's more densely populated.
Right.
So, you know, I can't give you a number.
Okay.
But I would say it could be 30%. I don't know.
So what do you see as your goals for 2019-2020 as the mayor? I mean, what are your top priorities?
Well, as mayor, you know, I've always been here just to serve and do what, you know, we feel is right for the community and what the community wants. We've done some things with sewer. We've done some things with COA. We've done some things with going through our master plan and things like that. We've invested in software and tools that we need in our township building to be more efficient and help people. Our township building, any township building, a lot of them you go into, and they act like they're the government, and
right.
and you're bothering them. So, you know, through people before me over the last couple of years and myself, we want to turn it more into like a business. And so the community is your customer.
Yep.
And so you need to treat your customer with respect. You need to treat them right and help them out as much as you can. I've gotten involved in a lot of different things over this past year, some a little bit crazy, but, you know, some good things to help people. And they say I'm always there. I just want to help.
Great. And, it's a great help.
So there's things there where, you know, we employees, as far as we approved on a request of the schools to have class 3 officers in the schools because of some things going on. So we've employed them. The schools fund them, but we have, because of our police department, we took care of that.
What is a class 3 officer?
Class 3 officer is a part-time officer, and they are retired officers. So they don't get the benefits, they don't get the pay.
But they're in the school.
They're hired as so many hours for the school during the school year.
Okay.
They can be at any school at any time. There's no schedule. I mean, let's face it, we live in a different world today than we did, and it's unfortunate, but we have to deal with it.
Do these officers carry a weapon?
Yes.
They do? Okay.
They do.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And so that we streamlined a lot of things. We've made our sign ordinances easier for businesses. We've tried to make things easier for businesses to do things. We're actually recodifying all of our ordinances right now and going through them and looking at things that are outdated, things that need to be changed, and making those corrections. Because over the years, they make a change in one section, they don't make the change in the other section, and they're working against each other and things like that. So we're in the process of doing that. We're going to have that done this year. There's the morale of the township is really good right now.
I gotta admit, I think it is, and I do a lot of. I'm in offices. I'm getting permits and whatever. And so your people are. It comes from the top down. It doesn't happen by accident.
Right.
Because even if I can walk into one Home Depot and walk into another Home Depot, I can tell you that there's a better manager here. They're looking in your eyes. They're saying hello. They're not making eye contact.
Right.
Jeff, we could sit here for a couple of more hours. We're at the end of our hour already.
Great.
So what point would you have liked to have made today that we didn't make?
Really, Hunterdon County and Reinhardt Township is a great place to live. I've traveled around for many places in business, and there's a lot of great places you want to go on vacation, a lot of places right. you like to visit, but I've never been anywhere else that I'd want to live. And I just hope and strive that we can keep it the great place it is and revitalize some areas and get some new blood in the area. And I think it's coming, and I think it's going to be great for all of us.
And I see some exciting new projects. A lot of people can't tell Flemington from Raritan Township, where it starts, where
right.
it stops. So there's some exciting new projects going on, like the Chimney Rock is...
are you on?
We're on. So the Chimney Rock was an example from maybe 2 years ago.
Yes.
But I see there's a tool company coming in across from where ShopRite
is. Harbor Freight.
Harbor Freight. Even when you go to the malls are full. I mean, we're having a good year retail-wise.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, retail has changed its complexion, too.
Right, and online and everything else.
So you must be, because I'm on Mark all the time, and we live up in Annandale, which is part of Clinton Township. We need a $20 restaurant like Applebee's up there, and we don't. And he says, it's free market, Joe. I can't tell him where to go. There's obviously not enough. You guys have a lot of great restaurants. You have a lot of great retail.
Yeah.
You have the parking lots are full.
So and we work together. Well, with Flemington, for instance, Chimney Rock, part of that was in Flemington and part of that was in Raritan Township.
Right.
So we worked together to get, get that approved together. And the liquor license actually came from Raritan Township. And I joked to them when they came to the planning board that corner of the building was the only place they could serve alcohol because that was where the liquor license came from. But in fact, that is where the bar is. But anyway.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on. We'll have to repeat this once a year or so and talk about new items. But I've always enjoyed Raritan. It's obviously, it sold more houses than any other town in Hunterdon County. We have 26 of them last, and it does that just about every month. And I think whatever needs to be done is getting done, and it shows. And it's a place where I want to live. It's a place
Great.
Where you have lived all your life.
Yes.
And I think it's a place where people listening, they want to come take a look because we have a lot of history. We have a lot of farming. And I always say turn left at the cows, right at the horses kind of living. If that's what you're looking for, come on out to Raritan Township. We've
Absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
House Democrats are releasing the text of a resolution involving the next steps in the impeachment inquiry into President Trump. The House is expected to vote on the resolution Thursday. It formally authorizes public hearings and the transmission of witness depositions to the House Judiciary Committee. Vote or no vote, Republican Congressman from Louisiana Steve Scalise says,
Pelosi needs to declare a mistrial. This has been a tainted process from the start. What happened today confirms, even worse, just how poorly Adam Schiff is handling this process and denying the ability for Republicans to even ask basic questions.
The Defense Department is awarding a $34 billion contract to Lockheed Martin to build nearly 500 F-35 fighter jets. The planes are to be built in Fort Worth, Texas, and come in three different versions, one for the Navy, Marines, and Air Force. This is USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.